Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, boys and girls. And welcome to episode 161 of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I am Randy, and I am piloting this here ship this week, and I am with David, Justin, Amanda, and a special guest, Vaughn, from the Maniacs on Movies podcast. How y'all doing tonight?
Good, good.
Bitchin'.
Vaughn fucked it up. He fucked up the whole goddamn thing.
That's it, I'm going to bed.
We have an order in how we do things, and you ruined it. But you're new. So it's okay.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the confidence boost.
I blame Randy.
Way to just throw our guest right under the bus. Like,
we can go Egon.
Boom.
I'm really strong. I can throw anybody under a bus.
You can actually. I've heard you are a bus tosser. You're known to throw buses. And
dude, he was the stump man on Terminator Genesis, dude.
It was.
He flipped that bus.
I'm pretty strong.
I like it.
Yeah. I like you. Sometimes
you know
when
I like?
Eat popsicles, I think of you.
Ooh. I always think popsicles and think of you. You know what I always think of you, Justin? I was watching Wolf of Wall Street. It's on Netflix, so I was checking it out. And I know you haven't seen it yet.
I've seen it.
Oh, you did see it?
Yeah,
oh,
like a year ago.
Oh, well, last time we talked, I thought you hadn't seen it. And I'm always reminded when DiCaprio's doing drugs out of the hooker's asshole. I'm always reminded of you.
Oh, yeah, dude. Jordan Belfort is like my... If he wasn't such a piece of shit, he'd be my hero.
He's like your spirit animal.
Yeah. He's bad news bears.
I need to see that movie.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
In like the first like couple minutes, there's people doing someone kicked off, but yeah, doing drugs out of butts. Mm-hmm. Can't beat it.
Sounds like a good time. Speaking of amazing things like snorting coke out of a hooker's ass, Vaughn, I hear you've seen 15 whole minutes. Of Civil War, on IMAX, no less.
Yeah, it was pretty badass. Marvel sent out footage to select IMAX theaters to test the footage and report back for post, because they shot it with the new IMAX 2D RE cameras. And the theater, with their staff and some guests, just hosted a screening of that footage. So since I was friends with the manager, I got to go see that shit. It was pretty dope.
Now, I assume you probably had to sign an NDA, so you can't really talk about the specifics of what you saw, but what can you tell us?
I could tell you that, man, like it is the darkest Marvel film to date, right?
So someone dies in the first 15 minutes?
No, it's actually, completely honest, they cut it in such a way where there wasn't many spoilers. But you could definitely tell that it was towards the end, because the battle shit was shot with the camera.
Oh. Are you able to do a one-man play acting out everyone's part that you saw?
No, but I probably eventually, once I see the entire movie a couple of times. But yeah.
I'm not impressed.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. It was
How did the 2D look? Cause, I mean, they've been talking a while about the new Arri 2D IMAX camera, and it seems kind of a weird step back to go to 2D. So, I mean, I'm assuming it's more for the bootleg fake IMAXs, not the real IMAXs.
No, it's actually they will post convert it eventually to IMAX 3D, but it's the alternative to the 70 millimeter camera. So. Mm-hmm. A true 8-story tall IMAX screen could project 70 millimeter film, which means the entire fucking image will be there with no widescreen bars. So the new 2D camera is like the digital replacement of the 70 millimeter. So when you shoot it in that format, you're pretty much shooting a 70 millimeter shot just on digital.
Oh, nice. And when you put things into perspective, cameras, high resolution cameras, like, for example, the 5K camera that they shot the Hobbit movies on, that's basically the size of a 35 millimeter piece of film, and so you're essentially doubling or quadrupling, I think, is the way it works, the resolution when you actually blow it up to 70 millimeter. So you have it's insane.
Yeah, and that's why they could only shoot 15 minutes of it, because it was really not only just for them, it was also a product test as well. But apparently they liked this so much that a news story broke a long time ago that Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2 will use those cameras and shoot the first ever motion picture in 100% IMAX.
Other than the ones that you see at, like, museums and stuff like that.
Right,
like
going in the ocean or space or some bullshit.
Or flying around or something like that.
Yeah, because the complaints people got from the 70mm ones is like, shit, we would really want to shoot the whole thing, but the cameras are so loud. And they would have to go and do ADR shit because it would overwrite their dialogue. But in this case, because they found an alternative version, you don't have to really worry about that issue anymore.
It's always weird when you watch a movie like Dark Knight or something where some shots are just super mega wide and you just see the image change.
Dude, fucking bank robbery sequence in Dark Knight just opens on that shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes they can use it pretty well to where it transitions from one to the other. I remember Catching Fire did that to where once they went into the arena, it switched to aspect ratios.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see The Hateful Eight because Tarantino shot it in 70mm, and it'll be interesting to see how that compares to the stuff you saw. But you saw the Civil War footage at D23. As far as like tone and vibe goes, was it different? Was what they showed a little different?
Well, yeah, because the D23 footage is really what we're going to see in the teaser trailer coming out around November.
And yeah, it's kind of a sizzle reel, right?
Yeah. And what they were saying is, like, the trailer for that will drop with Spectre around November 6th. So that's the first footage that the public will really get to see. But, yeah, the vibe of it is a lot darker. The characters are a lot more depressed this time around because, as you know, what happened in Ultron, things didn't end so well for all of them.
I'm surprised they're not saving the teaser for Star Wars. Keep it all in the Disney family, or Good Dinosaur. Actually, that'd be the one. So that's kind of the wild card in Disney's catalog. I'm surprised that they're going to go with a Sony picture.
Well, I mean, I guess Ultron was released around that date too, so the Ultron teaser. So I guess they want to keep it in the loop.
Well, plus Spider-Man's going to be it, and that's Sony.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of the deal.
Part of the deal. We'll give you Spider-Man. You got to run your trailer in front of our shit, though.
Yeah. Follow-up to a $1 billion movie that everyone's looking forward to needs all the help I can get.
Well, I'll tell you this. Like, the vibe is very Winter Soldier because Joe and Anthony Russo directed again, and it feels really grounded as there's all this shit happening. The fight sequences, like, I haven't seen shit like this, like, in any superhero movie. Like, the fights are so, like, you have a guy that flies in a metal suit and uses repulsors, but man, they fucking pulled that off too. Like it looks real.
Now, did you get a good look at Black Panther? I mean, we got a real quick glimpse at D23, but did you get a good look?
And I could say this. There's a quick shot of him fighting Winter Soldier, which is pretty badass.
Now,
come out and stuff.
Since it doesn't look like Spider-Man's going to have enough screen time to reprise his role from the comics as kind of like the character that goes between the two factions, did you get the impression that that could possibly be Black Panther, that he could be the one that starts on Team Iron Man and ends up on Team Cap?
Well, yeah, but without getting into too heavy spoilers, I have a couple of sources that actually said that Spider-Man will have at least more than the small role that people are talking about. Like, in the, they didn't show us that footage, but they said in the final battle, he's there more or less. Like, he has a huge presence because that's the way they want to introduce him. So when the Spider-Man movie comes out, you just go. There's no reintroducing. Yes.
Yeah, I heard rumors, and in fact, I think we may have talked about it on the show, that it's possible that a lot of the Spider-Man stuff was shot before it was even cast. Because if it's just a dude in a costume, it could have been anybody in there.
Right. Yeah, like Van Damme and Predator.
Right? In a giant red spandex suit.
Yeah, because he did. Tom Holland tested with Chris Evans when they were casting the role, and then they also tested him with Robert Downey Jr. because those are the two guys he'll interact most with, just like the comics. So they wanted to see how he would line up with Marvel's Legends, and apparently they really liked it. And so far, with casting, they've done really good.
Cool.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'll give this movie a go. You know, it'll probably be okay.
Give it a whirl.
Yeah. Huh.
Comes out next summer? It comes out?
Yeah, it's in May. Yeah.
Yeah. My only concern is that Marvel seems to, as far as marketing go, they seem to be they like to push the next thing before the current thing is out. And I think that's kind of one of the things that really hurt Age of Ultron in my mind, was that I was looking forward to Civil War. I'm just hoping that they let Civil War do its thing before they start blowing us out of the water with, you know, Doctor Strange and and Thor 3 shit. So I hope that it have its like moment in the sun before they start pimping out everything.
I mean, it really feels like they've been putting so much effort into Civil War. I mean, it feels like even more effort than what went into Age of Ultron. So I'm really hoping, like you said, that they really kind of let this burn at the appropriate rate and not just blow through it so that they can go on to the next big thing.
Yeah, because they really talk about Ultron a lot in the, you know, in the sizzle reel. Because a lot of people think, oh, what Ultron did, that was what spark the Accords or the governments to have superheroes register and shit. But in this case, it was everything. They do mention the Thor, you know, Dark Elves attacking Earth. They mentioned the Mandarin bombing. So the Ultron was pretty much the last tick for them, especially when one of the Avengers created them himself.
Yeah,
and the Hulk destroys, like, South Africa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think that the Civil War announcements, because like the first Avengers was an exclamation point on like Phase One, it was a great conclusion to that part of the Marvel universe, where Age of Ultron didn't feel as definitive because we knew we were basically going to see another Avengers movie the next year in Civil War.
And arguably, a lot of people were saying this as we were walking out the theater. I mean, this is, you know, I'm kind of still pissed that it's called Cap Civil War, because even though they're focusing it through his point of view, this really does seem like a half and half movie. It really feels like it really feels like Tony's movie as much as Cap's, as it should be. And it really focuses on the Stark legacy, if you will, because apparently we're not going to see too much of him in the suit until the battles. And we're really going to go back to what he was in Iron Man 1, the business guy. Like, they kind of allude to how he's hung up the suit because he's embarrassed about what happened. And he's just trying to atone for his mistakes and shit. And he's arguably gives the best performance and most emotional performance to Stark this time around.
Nice.
Yeah.
Makes him a person.
Yeah.
He's a man. An Iron Man.
Yeah, speaking of Ultron, it comes out Friday on Blu-ray, by the way.
Yep.
They've
been releasing all these gag reels and bloopers and deleted scenes.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes I enjoy those more than the movie.
Yeah, especially the Joss Whedon commentary.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see his commentary on this one, to see when he recorded and if he's got a Disney gun to his head while he's recording it. I mean, I'm sure he's not going to be brutally honest, like, oh, I hated this thing, but curious if he gets any jabs in.
Yeah, I know, because like, there's going to be like two superhero movies coming out that year about two heroes fighting each other. So we'll just have to see which one does better. Frankly, I'm more excited about Civil War than Batman v Superman, even though that's still top of my list as well.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm looking forward to Civil War much more than BVS.
Yep.
You know what else we're looking forward to?
What?
Prometheus 2, but the only thing is, it's no longer Prometheus 2.
Fucking really, Scott? About this? Yeah.
What is it, Randy? Don't leave us hanging.
It's going to be Alien.
You know what? I'll answer for him because he's too slow.
No, man, I'm building suspense. You got to ride the wave.
I need to know, Randy. Come on.
It's called Alien Paradise Lost, all right?
Oh, my God. You just told... He's not familiar with the term edging, I don't think.
Randy, you were just too slow, okay? Those guys wanted to hear your answer.
I edge all the time, Randy. I'm with you.
Someday we'll tell you what edging is. Until then, right. tell us what you know about Paradise Lost.
Should probably just Google it.
Yeah.
I think
Google that, then Google Lemon Party, and then you'll thank us.
Yeah, Ridley Scott, good guy. He was on a podcast called Hey You Guys, which seems like a pretty cool title for a podcast. And he dropped dropped the hint that dropped the title that it was going to be Alien Paradise Lost. Apparently, he was fed up with Mr. Blomkamp getting all the aliens love, and so he wanted to get on the action. Everyone hates Prometheus; gives a bad taste in their mouth. So everyone loves Aliens; puts a good taste in their mouth, if you know what I mean. And so, what do you think, Justin? What do you think of this title?
I don't like it, but I like most things Alien, so I'll check it out.
Yeah, I don't like the title, but I like the fact that it is Alien. I don't like the Paradise Lost aspect of it, you know, pulling from literature. But so what is this?
Because we all know books suck. Books are the worst.
What does this mean for Blomkamp's Alien movie?
It's still there, but they're waiting for Prometheus. Or sorry, they're waiting for Paradise Lost before they do Aliens 5. And Aliens 5 is still happening, right? Alien 5.
But doesn't it take Ridley Scott a while to make movies?
Well, I don't know why they're waiting.
They're supposed to start shooting in the beginning of next year.
Yeah. I feel like we've been talking about Prometheus 2 since Prometheus came out.
Seriously.
Yeah. He needs and same thing with Blade Runner 2.
Yeah. Talking about that since fucking 1980-something.
Yeah. Really, Scott, he doesn't believe in shot lists. Maybe that's what takes so long.
Mm. There you go. He's like, where was I?
Yeah. So how's this going to splice together? Well, I don't have to edit this shit.
Averaging 1/8 of a script page per day. Trudging through production.
You can do that when you make Alien, I guess.
I guess
that gives you all like the screen. Anyone questions him, he's like, dude, I made Alien.
Yeah. Alien. I mean, I guess, do we have any idea what it's about yet? We don't, do we?
No.
Well, the only story thing that he dropped was like, he did promise that it's going to explain why all that evil science was created in the first place. Like, those answers... Like, those questions will be answered.
Well, I guess...
And it'll back up.
I'm just curious, are we gonna follow what happened with... what's her cheese? I forget her name. Naomi something? Naomi Rep.
I don't believe so, no.
It has nothing to do with Elizabeth Shaw or fucking David going off on their own adventures?
I'm pretty sure that Fassbender will be in it.
Yeah, Fassbender's in the movie.
But he's just—that's just a model of a.
Yeah, that's just David.
Of a robot, right? He's.
Yes.
Anybody could.
Correct. As far as we know, it'll back up into Alien, so it'll end kind of like as an opening to Alien. So I don't know what that means, but we'll have to wait a couple years to find out, I guess.
Yeah, well, wasn't there also? Yeah, go ahead.
Wasn't there also going to be a Prometheus 3?
Which was four and a five.
Yeah.
Another one. So I'm curious where the Prometheus 3 or the third one and whatever you want to call this series is. If the second one leads right up to the beginning of Alien, where would the third one fall in time?
I don't know. I wonder. Maybe that'll be the very end. Maybe that's the bookend. Maybe that'll be the end of the saga.
You know,
that'd be nice.
In Aliens, when,
the best one.
Yes. When Ripley has to go through this debriefing with Weyland-Yutani and explain why she blew up the ship. Because she has to answer for billions of dollars worth of damage. Right. They say, you know, there's no reports of any indigenous life on this planet. It's a rock. And she's like, are you guys fucking deaf? This stuff came from somewhere else. It was a wrecked ship, a derelict ship that brought this technology. So even so far back as Aliens, we know that there's this whole other amazing race of coolness going on, and we didn't even get to touch on it at all in Prometheus, and that was probably the biggest disappointment for me.
Yeah, I don't think I ever thought of it that way, but yeah, I think you're right. I think that may have been what left a sour taste in their mouth, and maybe Prometheus 2 or Alien Paradise Lost will maybe it'll be more of a bridge, and it'll be something that's a little more exciting. Maybe it'll be just like how Alien was, except this time they don't win, and Alien kills everyone and floats along in the ship. And
yeah, so what they need is Cameron just to come in, sail in on his Titanic wreckage, and just
fix it,
crank it up to 11.
Yeah,
just, be amazing.
The feeling I get is like it could be a direct follow up, but I also feel like it could stand on its own too, like. It could be one of those things where, yeah, it is a follow-up, but you don't have to watch the first one. Like, maybe it just will stand alone on its own.
Yeah. Maybe like, sorry for the first one, but the second one's better. Just skip the first one.
Yeah.
It's like the new StarCraft game. You don't have to buy the first two. You can skip this one.
I'm that way with Diablo. I'm the only asshole in the world that likes Diablo 3.
Who started this Diablo 3? Like, 1 and 2 is for Quakers, man.
Yeah, pretty much. Idiots. What else you got?
I hear there's some new information about Furious 8.
What?
Yeah.
They're still mad. Get over it.
They're no longer fast. They're just pissed off.
Yeah.
Hot rods, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. So, did you see Paul Walker's daughter is suing Porsche?
No.
What for?
What?
Yeah. I forgot Amanda was here.
I like literally have nothing to say about any of the other stuff.
Yeah, she's suing Porsche, and they say it's all her idea. The 16-year-old girl decided to sue this multi-billion-dollar corporation. Couldn't possibly be lawyers whispering in her ear. But yeah, I guess the popular word on the street is that the crash didn't kill Paul Walker. It was the fire that happened afterwards, and they're saying the fire started like 2 minutes after he crashed, and that if Porsche was a better car, that he would have been able to get out and this whole thing. So. Sad to think that Paul Walker was alive and burned to death, but that's not here or there.
That is awful.
That sucks.
Now that I've taken the show down a couple pegs.
Yeah, I'm sad.
What a segue.
Thanks, Dave.
David ruined the show. Furious 8. Vin Diesel is going around town. They don't have a director. James Wan did the last one. Justin Lin did the couple before that, but he's busy directing Star Trek and being all cool and badass. Yeah. Really, there's not a lot of news, but Vin Diesel did let us know that 8 was going to be the middle part of the final trilogy. So we will get an 8, and we will get a 9, and it sounds like that'll be it until 8 and 9 both make $2 billion, and then they'll be like, maybe we'll make a 10. It's a nice round number.
Yeah.
Well, I know Amanda, you're a huge fan of this series. Are you excited for 2 more Fast and the Furious movies?
I was going to say I haven't even seen a Fast and Furious movie, but that's not true.
You probably saw Tokyo Drift and that's it, right?
I think that might be accurate.
The best of the series.
Like Randy, Rocky Five, and us.
Yeah. I like Tokyo Drift.
I do too, but you got to watch one Fast and the Furious movie.
That's not I wouldn't pick that one.
Started
the
Fast and the Furious movie.
I mean, not like by choice. I think I happened to be somewhere where like my friends were watching it.
In Japan.
And so I just was... No, it wasn't in Japan.
That's super racist.
She was in Japan!
I did live in Japan for a little while. And it might have been around the time that Fast Furious 2 came out.
It was a thing.
But... Yeah, that's the one that none of the regular people are in.
Vin Diesel's in it in like the final 30
seconds.
No,
yeah, I remember that, and I remember thinking like, why is Vin Diesel here?
Right, and they shot it like 7 months later.
Someone had to explain to me that he was in the other movie.
Yeah, and it was probably a different movie, and then they're like, wait, let's make this a Fast and Furious movie.
It 100% was. It was not a Fast and Furious movie, and then they had it completed, and Universal bought it and said, hey. Let's put Vin Diesel at the last very end of this, and then we can make it a Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah, he was Triple X.
Yeah.
Because in, like, Paul Walker's, like, final interviews and shit, he was talking about, like, how he didn't do that movie, and people actually, like, when they recognized him on the street or something, they would literally give him the vibe, like, huh, so you're too good for me to be in these movies now, huh? So it was, like, he felt like it was an obligation to, like, come back and shit.
And they died, and it was
sad. Oh, and I remember when Fast and Furious came out, the fourth one. He was on Kevin and Bean, and so they're like, so you're back? He's like, oh man, we're all back, and we're having fun, and we're going to just keep making these movies forever. He's like, if this one makes money, you better believe that tomorrow we will start shooting Fast and Furious 5. He was really pumped.
Which was really good. I enjoyed Fast 5.
I like them all.
And the rest is history.
I'm not too keen on Too Fast, Too Furious.
Oh my god, Dave. You hate everything.
I hate
Vin Diesel isn't in that one at all, is he?
No.
That one's all Paul Walker.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Tyrese.
Yeah.
Everybody's favorite.
Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah.
I like him in Furious 7.
Yeah.
When he's screaming as they're parachuting down in the car.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part. Uh-huh. Aside from Jason Statham beating the shit out of everyone.
Like an entire hospital of people.
Oh my god, that is the coolest opening to a movie ever. And it just shows more and more carnage. it's so good. I'm like, yeah, boy, I love you.
Yeah.
He throws a grenade.
Yeah, in a hospital.
Even the fight scene between him and The Rock, I mean, look at it, like, how is this possible? But they fucking pull that off too. Like, it was a lot of fun.
I think history will show that it's the greatest movie ever made. The greatest story ever told?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I think it's been proved. I think the Academy. That's why the Academy gave it all those awards.
Yeah, the best.
All those statues.
Yeah. Best fight scene.
MTV.
There you go.
I think Ghostbusters is one of the best stories ever told.
How do we not segue from aliens to Ghostbusters?
I'm a segue machine, and there is yet more news of original cast members joining the cast of the new Ghostbusters movie. Sigourney Weaver is now joining the cast. So is anybody still thinking that they're just going to be random characters, or are we all on board that they're all coming back and reprising their prior roles, and we're just not being told that? They want to wait and surprise us. Is anybody convinced to my side of the fence yet?
I was convinced last week.
Yeah, I'm going to say, at this point, I am convinced that they're going to play the original characters. Because, look, at first, Bill Murray came on because he wanted to help out, and other people came on. I'm sure once they heard, the gang's getting back together, you know what, let's just do this. It'll be a good time, and, hey, we can help them make a few more bucks.
What if they get killed in the opening? That's the opening before the credits. Is they get slaughtered by Jack the Ripper's ghost or something.
They looked at the trap and they get sucked in it.
Yeah, they all cross the street.
Egon gets killed off screen at the beginning. You just hear him yelling. Then they all go run to find out what happened to him, and then they all get killed too.
Oh.
Yeah. Does anyone here follow Paul Feig on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually got to DM him a couple of nights ago.
He is battling the trolls hardcore. It is a treat to watch him just tear apart these people that aren't willing to give Ghostbusters a chance because it's got women in it and stuff like that. And it's kind of fun in today's, social media PR machines that someone actually standing up to the people saying these horrible, hateful things out of ignorance.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, when the project was first announced, I was do we need another one? But after the cast was announced, I'm like, hey, look, this shit could work. I'm not going to judge until I see a trailer at least.
I mean, I've been out there all along saying I don't generally like the idea of Ghostbusters without the original cast, but I'm just happy to have Ghostbusters in any form rather than none at all, I suppose.
Well, now you're getting a universe.
It sounds like we're getting a universe, and I might be getting that original cast that I was talking about, so who knows?
And you get the Channing Tatum Ghostbusters.
Well, we'll see. Isn't that one dependent on the success of this female cast version?
They say it's not, but I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If this movie makes $0, they're not going to spend $100 million on another one.
Honestly, though, with all the hype around this movie, it's got to make some money. Unless it's
everybody's going to go to opening matinee because, it's nostalgia purposes, too. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Feig has a proven track record. He makes good, I know Justin hates the heat, but he makes some good films. I mean, Spy's great. Bridesmaids is great.
I really enjoy the heat. I didn't think it was that fun. I thought it was fun, but it wasn't amazing.
Oh, I'm saying it's amazing. I'm saying it's a funny movie.
Yeah.
It makes me chuckle. That's what I'm doing.
It's okay. I like that Biff was in it.
Yeah, it's the captain.
Yeah.
What are you looking for? She's looking for my ball. They're this small. They're like mice-sized balls. Sorry.
Yeah.
Ghost Sigourney Weaver. Hopefully her and Bill Murray are divorced, and it was an ugly divorce, and she wrote a book, a tell-all book about my nightmare with a Ghostbuster.
It's a reflection.
Here's how I see it. Okay, now, David, in past episodes, you've said it would be great if Bill Murray came back and he was the mayor of the city, right?
Yeah, I'm
still... Well, his term is up. And Sigourney Weaver is running against him.
Yeah, I like where you're going, Randy.
They're the same characters, so they have this this bitter rivalry between them, having been ex-lovers.
And he stabs in the back and talks about how she was possessed and dirty politics. You can't trust her; she sleeps above the covers, 6 feet. Sorry, now I'm just being silly.
You know what else is silly? Speaking of segues, a Men in Black movie without Will Smith. What do you think of that, about that?
I think it's a great idea.
I mean, great idea.
Yeah.
I think since it sounds like there's going to be an entire trilogy that is rebooted in no way associated with the originals, and I'm okay with it being without Will Smith, because just like I've said, if you're going to reboot something, you can't have any of the original cast members in there, because then it won't feel like a reboot. So
yeah,
so yeah, just bring in a whole new cast, take it a whole new direction.
And Anthony Mackie.
Make it for nice. The current times.
Yeah, and plus that's just going to be a universe too, apparently.
I mean, the first trilogy was kind of a universe, but do you mean universe in as much as they're going to weave it together with other movies as well?
Yeah, I'm sure it's still a Sony property, so I'm sure they'll find a way to meld people and franchises together with that too. Because they were going to do that with, I think it was 21 Jump Street and Man in Black series together.
Yeah. Stupid Marvel. Now that Marvel's got a universe, everyone has, Debbie. We've got the Universal Monsters universe coming up. We've got the DC universe. We're going to have Ghostbusters universe.
Mm. Well, to be fair, the Universal
What happened to just having, like, movies and sequels?
Universal Monsters for a while, though.
Yeah. It was Universal.
I'm not a guy to say that everybody should copy each other, but at the same time, at this age and time with all these universes, I mean, why not steal shit that works? I mean, look at Marvel coming up with that idea and look at it working, dude. Like, they're making millions and billions out of that shit. And I'm sure, and DC was, like, tied up their ass. So it was like, hey, we got to do that too. Now everybody's doing it.
It is a proven model that works.
Yeah, I don't fault Marvel for making a universe. I just wish they were more diverse. Like, I mean, the Marvel universe right now is like a really long television series in that they all, there's no like different looking one. And that's kind of when I was a little sad when, you know, DC was talking about like no humor in like the DC universe, because it seems like they want to make just all of these Nolan-esque movies. And
yeah.
And so I just don't want just this dark, gritty, you know, sepia absence of color. You know, I would love for like, you know, the Aquaman, well, they cast Jason Momoa, so it's not going to be fun, but, you know, take one of those characters, like, take the Green Lantern, take, you know, Green Arrow, take somebody in a different direction, you know, kind of how they were going to do with Ant-Man before they chick-canned Edgar Wright, and just have some fun different movies that don't look alike.
Yeah, introduce some joy into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, for me, that's like, I mean, everybody's subjective to their own opinion, but I guess see what you're saying with, like, the Marvel Universe and stuff, but hey, look, I mean, I'm sure Kevin Feige and those guys were like, hey, look, they even came out with that story a long time ago about how they're like, we could start with, you know, the Hulk, or if we had Spider-Man, we could have started with Spider-Man. It's like, let's start with Iron Man, and, like, it's a B-rated character, but look at that working, dude. They took that big risk, and, like, I quote other people saying this, too. The entire Marvel Universe sits rest on Kevin Feige and Robert Downey Jr.'s shoulders. All these movies get to be because what that first movie became.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and I'd give Jon Favreau some credit, too. But I don't mean to sound like I shit on Marvel. I mean, I love every Marvel movie, and I like the first Avenger, like Captain America First Avenger. But the rest, yeah. I love.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure those guys were like, hey, look, we do this in the comics. That, you know, they have their solo adventures, but then they come together when a big threat comes in the Avengers. Let's just do that in the movies, man, and look at it working. So it works for them, but in my opinion, I don't think every franchise should have a universe. Like, look at Bond. Like, Bond has its own universe, but that's sticking with its own lore. They're not connecting it with anything.
Right, and Marvel was the only game in town for a long time, but now, you know, now with Fox trying to expand their universe, and with DC beginning their universe, you know, we're going to get pretty saturated pretty quick. And I stick by my guns that most people don't know the difference between a DC and a Marvel film. So it'll be interesting to see. Interesting, I tell you.
Yep.
Yeah. So here's something that you might particularly find interesting, David.
Ooh, me, personally.
Yes, you personally. There are some rumors, and this could be a potential spoiler, but there are some rumors that Hayden Christensen may reprise his role as Darth Vader in Star Wars Episode
8. Like Darth Vader in
Okay, look. Let David say what he wants to say, because I got a bit of shit I have to say about this, man.
So are we talking Vader, like, Vader pre-Mustafar or Vader post-Mustafar?
You know, I don't have a good answer for that, because the only thing that I could see is, like, maybe if we're going to see him without the helmet on, or maybe If we see a young Anakin, it's going to have to be in the form of a flashback, which is something that we hear they're going to be employing in Episode 7. We might actually see some flashbacks, something they've never done in a Star Wars movie before. Right. So it stands to reason that they could do that in Episode 8 as well. But realistically, I think what it's going to be is maybe there's going to be... Now, I'm going out on a limb when I say this. There might be a Darth Vader clone. Because, look... we know Kylo Ren has Darth Vader's helmet. He recovered it from the funeral pyre on Endor. It's entirely possible that there could have been some DNA in the burnt remains there. He could have taken it, cloned himself a new Darth Vader, and is raising him as his own or something like that. It could be entirely possible that if it's not in the form of a flashback, we would see a young Darth Vader clone or Anakin clone.
Well, you said a lot there, so let me start with the clone thing. I think there are very few humans in the world who love Star Wars as much as I do, naming my fucking own, my kid after them. But a clone Darth Vader is a shit, terrible idea, and it's a poor man's plot device. And I know that, my heart of hearts says that would be true. As far as flashbacks go, if he doesn't say anything, I'm fine with Hayden Christensen in whatever capacity. If it's like a voiceover flashback, you know, he's pretty good with the lightsaber, and he's pretty cool about jumping around, but the acting, not so good.
Yeah, but he's had 10 years to grow since then, yeah.
But he hasn't done anything, Randy.
Yeah.
Hey, he was in some sword movie with fucking Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, and it was terrible.
Yeah. I haven't seen
it. Yeah.
Unless he spent 10 years in a bunker with acting lessons, you know, no.
Yeah, I mean, let me add to that real quick. By the way, that comment you made, David, I might be as big of a fan as you are just around with Randy, too. But and that's why I bring up this topic. There was a couple of sources that I was talking to through various social media and shit. And I came up with my own thing. We might see him in flashbacks. That's totally possible. I don't think Rian Johnson, the director of Episode 8, is going to be that stupid to make a clone. I agree with you. Now, what I do think it is, and this is potential spoilers for Episode 7, but they're saying where Luke is in exile on that island, they're calling him the crazy old man, which meaning like the wizard and shit, whereas he's just not in exile by himself. He's talking to the dead. Apparently, he's guarding a tomb, and we don't know what the tomb is, but I do have a feeling that it could be him talking to his father. Now, you would imagine that be through James Earl Jones' voice. I hope it is, but we don't know.
It could be his voice, but Hayden Christensen's moving his mouth.
Hey, there you go.
That would be the funniest.
Would you be behind that, David?
So weird.
Someone needs to do that on YouTube. Don't let me down.
There was a video of all the Vader scenes from the original trilogy with Samuel Jackson's dialogue just dubbed on it.
Yeah, the dialogue was pulled like from Pulp Fiction. Yeah.
But anyway, to finish that comment, in my opinion, if he's indeed talking to his father, and this is going on to the whole Kylo Ren thing with Kylo being obsessed with Vader. Look, this is my own opinion. I think that if maybe Vader feels like he didn't fully redeem himself, even though I think he did at the end of Return of the Jedi, maybe he feels like he didn't. And maybe the whole notion of Luke, you know, flirting with the dark side in his exile is true. And maybe he feels like it's his responsibility, just as the son guided the father, it's time for the father to guide the son in the right direction. Or possibly Vader even guiding Kylo Ren into, you know, pushing away from the dark side. Because look, I mean, the dude's dead, obviously, but when in his mind, I don't think it would be a bad idea to try to, you know, help other people turn from the dark side. It makes sense.
I think a Force ghost is a definite possibility, especially because Luke is sequestered in a cave all by himself, kind of going insane. And it makes sense because, well, supposedly, in the canon, we already know that the Force ghost of young Anakin, of Hayden Christensen's Anakin, comes at the end of Return of the Jedi. Unfortunately, I don't like it, but that was what Lucas did. So that's the canon, so it makes sense that if we see the Force ghost of him again, we would see Hayden Christensen.
Well, and I kind of like the idea that you and Vaughn are presenting as far as Because you know, when you think about Luke Skywalker's training, he was basically trained by Yoda to be a weapon to kill Darth Vader and Palpatine. He had no real, you know, training in the Force, and so it would be pretty cool if the ghost of Darth Vader spends the next however many years training Luke in a cave how to be an actual real Jedi. I could see that being that being pretty cool.
And
it could be above and beyond just the ghost of Anakin. It could be Anakin and Obi-Wan, because since the Heir to the Empire book and the whole Zahn trilogy is not in play anymore, Force ghosts don't have to disappear. They can be around forever. You know, in the first of Zahn's books, Obi-Wan comes to Luke and says, "Hey, I can't do this anymore. You know, I've only got so many times I can do this, and this is the last time I'm going to visit you." That doesn't have to be the case anymore. So here we are 30 years later, and Yoda, Obi-Wan, and Anakin. Yeah. Hell, Mace Windu, fucking any Jedi you can pull out of your ass could just be hanging out in the cave with him.
Yeah. Maybe Anakin should have recorded tapes like Jor-El. Just planned ahead.
Put it in the crystals.
Yeah.
In the event of my death, play.
That's exactly what it's like. I mean, if you look at like the holocrons, because there's a lot that a Jedi or a Sith can learn in terms of their training from ancient holocrons, and it's the exact same thing as freaking Superman. It's a message recorded in a box instead of a crystal.
I mean, check this out. I mean, I won't go into full spoilers for Episode 7, but from what I know officially, I'm going to use for this speculation now. As we know through recent magazine reveals and shit, that Kylo Ren is indeed was a part of a group called the Knights of Ren. So what if, like, the Knights of Ren, what if he was their leader at some point? Like, I always compared it to a cult. Like, what if they're just Vader groupies? And what if he was trying to convince them, like, hey, maybe we can resurrect this dude, or maybe we can find a way to be powerful by communicating to dude. And maybe years passed on and shit, and then they thought he was crazy. Because this, like, the first teaser and the second teaser really kind of shows that Kylo Ren was a part of the, you know, the First Order, but it also seems like he has his own agenda. Like, all the images that have been released have been of him really solitary. There was this one image from Empire released where he's, like, in the mist or some shit, and he's in, like, this forest planet with his saber ignited. So I'm thinking maybe he gave up the Knights of Ren because they were calling him crazy. And he's like, you know what, I'll show these motherfuckers myself and shit. And
when the cult calls you crazy, you're really crazy.
Yeah, you're super crazy.
The cult.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the expanded universe is no longer a thing, but I mean, there was numerous cases in the expanded universe where Vader had whole subsects of, you know, he had the Nagri bodyguards from like the Thrawn trilogy, and you know, he had all these separate things to her. I mean, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility for the Knights of Ren to be an offshoot of something that Vader started. But also, Rey, you know, I don't know. You guys are spoiler heavy. I'm not. You know, there was a couple things that kind of leaked about Rey that, you know, Rey's not her real name, that Rey was dropped off on Jakku by her parents. What if Rey has some ties to Mr. Vader, and that's what brings her and Kylo Ren together?
Right. Because, and without saying anything, you're actually on the right track so far.
Like, you, so, I'm on the right track for once.
Yeah. And because
it rarely happens.
Yeah. But yeah, it all seems interesting. I mean, like, if they do it the right way, and like I said, Rian Johnson's a smart dude, he's a good writer. I think he's gonna do a good job, and especially because he's writing Episode 9 for Colin Trevorrow. I think it's going to be pretty good. I think that he'll bring it full circle. Because, you know, like, we're not going to see much of Snoke in this movie, but I'm sure Snoke, if Kylo Ren is really indeed after Vader's ghost or whatever, chances are Snoke knows something about it. Like, maybe he didn't tell him, but maybe Snoke's forces know about it. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot bigger than just one person, I think.
All right. Well, while we're talking about Star Wars, I'm going to slightly skew this a separate direction because we could talk about spoilers and what we think is going to happen in Episode 7 for a long damn time. I read an article that basically said all of the Hasbro Star Wars Force Awakens toys they basically just account for characters that are revealed in the first one third of the movie. So that's why we're not necessarily seeing some of the original trilogy cast members that may not be there until later on in the film. We're only seeing characters that appear basically in the first like 45 minutes. So, and there's a pretty good range of characters out there in toy form right now within the first couple waves of figures. So it makes me really curious to see what's going to come later on.
Well, I mean, it's with all the merchandising, I think, because look, I mean, they confirmed the soundtrack won't be released until the movie comes out. Some of the art books won't be released. I'm sure they're spoiler heavy, and I'm sure some of these figures are spoiler heavy. Maybe what weapon they're using or just their look. So I guess,
you know, well, I remember the soundtrack for episode one. The second to last track is like the noble end of Qui-Gon. I remember I remember reading the soundtrack a month before I saw the movie, going like, all right.
Qui-Gon dies, all right.
I'm like, well, this sucks. Okay, well, we've kind of talked about it in the past a little bit. Now, since we're not going to focus on the original trilogy people as much in the movie, what do you think will give you the biggest nerd boner? Is it going to be when they finally unveil Han or when they finally unveil Luke in the film?
When they unveil Darth Maul.
What?
With his robot legs.
Okay, This is interesting that I bring up, because me and Randy kind of talked about this when we were in line at Force Friday. He mentioned like all the Vader stuff like coming out. Now look, it's interesting, and maybe it's only merchandising and how on the bottom of all the Force Awakens figures they actually say the Force Awakens. On the Vader stuff they didn't. But I have a hunch if Vader will have a presence in the movie, I'm sure that those will eventually tie in. I'm sure once the movie comes out, and especially in episode 8 and stuff, we'll get some cool Vader shit possibly. Maybe that is sort of a hint.
So that's what you're more excited about? More than any of the heroes, you're more excited to see Vader?
Well, look, we're going to have like more Captain Phasma shit come out, you know, eventually General Hux, and possibly Snoke. I'm actually excited to see what Snoke looks like.
Honestly, Dave, when Luke Skywalker turns on his lightsaber for the first time, I am going to go batshit crazy. Luke is my hero in this story, and I cannot wait to see. I hope it's still his green lightsaber, but I am just going to lose my shit when I hear that.
I mean,
all over the seat in front of you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, because I'm most excited for that too, because I'll tell you, like, as much as I told Randy this, as much as from the sources and spoilers that I know, as much as it seems like about the new kids, this three movies, it feels like it's another Luke story as well. So he has a major presence coming in these other three movies.
I just want to see him fuck shit up. And no matter how good someone thinks that they are, I want Luke to just fucking knock him down.
Right. Yeah,
Luke,
you know.
Luke versus Snoke, you know? Let's see that happen, man. Luke versus Snoke.
We've already seen Han. We've already seen Leia, even if it's just in either behind-the-scenes footage or what little we've seen in teasers. But yeah, I think Luke is going to be what really does it for me, because it's always been Luke's story. I mean, even if you look at, and this is something we talked about way back when, the Hatchet Order of the Star Wars saga. If you watch it 4, 5, and then 2, 3, 6, skipping 1, it's 100% Luke's story, and you treat the prequel movies as basically an extended flashback. To me, that's how I still see it. I still see it as Luke Skywalker's story, the entire saga. So yeah, I like the idea of seeing it continue this way.
That's interesting, and as opposed to seeing it as the whole saga is Vader's saga. See, cause that's how I see it, because Vader's always my guy. I'm on board with Justin to where the second fucking Luke comes out of his cave or whatever, whips back a hood and lights up his green lightsaber, I'm just going to like...
I'm going to lose my shit in that, dude. Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be excited when Han shows up, but I mean, Luke is... gonna be rad.
Yeah, but this is what I akin to it too. It's like you're talking about the saga of Vader and Luke. Like, before the prequels, it really felt like, you know, it felt like a Luke story and just happened to have that story of his father's redemption. Now with the prequels, it really, with George Lucas's, you know, in his mind, it really, the whole six act structure overshadowed Luke's story and really became the Darth Vader redemption story, which is meh, because the originals were made first. It seems just so abrupt that this kid shows up and you push Vader's story kind of in the background. It's always been Luke for me, too.
Hear, hear. Rabble, rabble, rabble.
What about you, Amanda? Who are you most excited to see?
Man, we're really Star Wars?
Yeah, no.
she's like the credits.
And how? I don't give a shit.
She wants Spalco.
She wants more Padme. She's hoping that Padme shows up again. She wants Jabala, Padme's replacement.
When the third Star Trek movie is closer, then I'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah. No, dude, that's what you see. The third
Star Trek movie, it's got Idris Elba in it.
I know, Idris Elba. Oh my god.
He should have been Bond. I know they're not gonna make him the next Bond.
That would have been amazing.
I'm sure you guys covered that story about him being too street and shit.
Yeah,
then quote unquote street.
Yeah. Now they're talking that Damian Lewis is next in line. Nerdist is actually reporting that it's confirmed, but I don't think anyone has said officially. But yeah, they think Damian Lewis, Brody from Homeland. They want him to be the next.
What? Yeah, no. No. He's not
because,
Bond.
Because a lot of people are saying, like, you know, Craig has one more movie after Spectre, but he might. He was always been going on interviews lately saying this could actually be the last one. So what do you guys think? Would you like to see one more after Spectre, or do you think Spectre's a good
I can
ending?
Watch Daniel Craig be Bond for the rest of my life.
I'm with you, Justin, 100%.
Well, Sam Mendes said he's done after Spectre, but he also said he was done after Skyfall. So I think if Mendes goes, I think that Craig will leave with him. But if Sam Mendes comes back to direct another one, it seems silly because it looks like Spectre could be setting up, the Spectre organization and maybe Blofeld. It seems like a weird time for a director and a star to leave a franchise.
Yeah, I mean, we could speculate all day, but in my opinion, I think Christoph Waltz is playing Blofeld, not just because of the way he looks, is the new lines in the new trailer, and plus, the Bond estate had, like, legal entanglements with Spectre and Blofeld. They couldn't use that stuff for a long time, and they recently got those rights back, so I'm sure that's why they're eager to push it back into the Bond universe. So it's got to be.
And Spectre and Blofeld go hand in hand. They really do.
Yeah, he's his Joker, dude. Like, that's his arch nemesis.
Yeah. Anybody going to see The Martian this weekend?
He has face damage.
Randy, you know I'm seeing it. I invited you, dude.
How about you guys? Are you seeing The Martian?
Absolutely. Yes.
I'm off this weekend. I'm going to fucking tear that shit up.
Ooh. Wait, are we still talking about the movie?
I'm talking about whatever's in front of me is going to get torn up.
Oh, I like it.
Blood and semen all over the place.
How much is a ticket to
house?
That's the cocktail for greatness, Amanda.
It's the breakfast of champions.
Yes.
Like it's expensive to watch, Randy. It's free to join.
Yeah, I'll have like a cup of blood and I'll do a little swirly as like the baristas with my
semen. Yeah, you'll draw little things in it like the foam of the baristas.
Yeah, now we're talking. We need to name that drink. That'll be
in.
That'll be the contest. You will get the first bottle of it.
Ooh. Yeah. Like three-piece wine.
Yeah, see you in Martian. And by the way, Randy, after your little list, little Mars list, I do have a game for us.
Oh, fantastic.
I have been making this game the entire podcast, which is probably why I haven't been saying much.
Oh, yeah, you motherfucker.
So I've just been vamping for time,
hated
entire
us.
Time for you.
No. I was concocting this amazing, this great little game.
We like it when you concoct things.
Yes.
Now, and I know which half you like, sir.
Probably the cock part.
Randy,
go on a limb.
Randy mentions that. Hey, dude, like, come on. Randy has personal experience with that shit. That's why he mentioned that.
They both have personal experience with my penis.
True.
This is
true. But to be fair, Justin, who hasn't?
This is true.
Who hasn't?
Pretty much.
I haven't, but maybe it's just because we're related.
But you're related, so it doesn't really count.
Hey, look, don't.
So really, it's okay. It's more okay.
Wait, what?
It's encouraged.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but
if we're like Game of Thrones universe, sure.
Well, we're cousins. It's just photos. It's very classy.
No, don't want them.
It's very classy.
I won't put you on my block list.
I have a very tasteful penis, Amanda.
As much as he tells all the girls that it tastes good.
I don't think tasteful
and tasteful. It's like those awesome French, like a Renaissance painting.
Love it.
Painted as if painted by the Dutch masters themselves.
Dude, we're going like detailed on this shit too much.
It was a Ghostbusters 2 reference. Randy got it.
Yep.
He's Vigo.
That's what I call it. That's so funny. When I whip it out, it's just like, what
you're
doing?
Like, I'm like, he's Vigo.
Yeah. Then why are you came? She says.
Why are you came? I'm in my face.
Anyway.
Speaking of which. Speaking of. Were you guys following the whole NASA thing? How they were cock teasing us last week, saying they were going to be making an announcement this week?
Yes.
Well, we're keeping it about Mars.
Get your ass to Mars.
So today was the day that they made the big reveal that they found strong evidence for liquid water being present on the Martian surface, and thus being that there's a good chance it could also support some form of life. Now.
I thought we already knew that.
Yeah,
well,
we did.
Yeah, we already knew that. We knew that frozen water was there, but we didn't know that liquid water was there for sure.
Oh,
and okay. this is their exciting thing that they announced. But what I found really odd is the fact that they were teasing this announcement for like a week. And to me, that just seems like, you know, like when a movie trailer is going to be released, but they put out a teaser to tease the trailer that's going to be released, it just seems like why does NASA need to tease us and try to whip us up into a fervor before dropping the news on us? Why does not just drop the news right away? I have a feeling, you know, if an announcement like this was made 5 years ago or 10 years ago, it would have just been announced. Everyone would have heard about it, and it would have been a great thing. Why tease it and then announce it? Is it because of the way that people ingest news in social media, or is it just because it makes it seem more like an entertainment kind of thing? Because that's how it's done in the entertainment business. What do you guys think about that? It rubbed me the wrong way.
I think we're just accustomed to it, like you said, with the entertainment and stuff. You know, I think it's just the way people like their news. They like to be, you know, given a bit of the flavor, and then voila, you know, it's been standard with everything lately.
I think it's just because of the Martian coming out. Just in their minds, it makes sense. Like, hey, let's get people excited about science and space.
And that's cool, but I mean, they could have told us that last week, and it was still only a week away till the Martian came out.
Yeah, but I'm sure they're thinking like, hey, look, 20th Century Fox is paying hundreds of millions of dollars to advertise this planet. Let's piggyback on this.
I mean, it makes sense when you look at it from that point of view.
It's all business.
Yeah, it just seemed weird that they were teasing us.
Well, NASA's just a bunch of dicks, I guess. Well, bag of dicks. The
as long as they don't tease us when an asteroid's going to crash into Earth and kill us all. I prefer to tell us immediately.
You have 24 hours to get your shit in order because we're going to die.
America votes.
It's just like that Family Guy episode.
Yeah, fool. Yeah. April Fools.
Yep.
That would be horrible.
So since we're talking about Mars so much, that actually brings me to our fun little list for this week.
Sure.
And this is just a basic list of education for all you folks, because every once in a while, everybody likes a little extra knowledge rattling around in their head. And today we're going to tell you 10 things you should know about Mars.
Oh, 10 things I hate about Mars.
Yeah.
And we can add an 11th one to this list in the fact that it apparently has liquid water. But number one, Mars is the fourth planet from the sun. Surprised you didn't know that.
Is that kind of list?
It's that kind of list.
Is it going to be
Mars is red?
Hey, this is from space.about.com.
Oh.
Hey,
is it now? Because Mars, it actually sounded you took this shit from like a high school like science book and
shit. Oh, not even high school. This is like sixth grade.
I was gonna say you asked my 9 year old.
Yeah, Mars is the seventh largest planet.
No, he's only eight. He's almost
God.
Nine.
Time is flying. I'm sorry, Randy. What was that? Mars is what? A red planet?
The seventh largest planet. And I bet you didn't know that fact, because that's kind of obscure.
I did, and
I did not know that fact.
I only know Mercury because I watched smaller. This. I just watched a video that shows like all the planets in different sizes. Like it started like the smallest.
And was it sung like an Animaniacs video or something?
I don't know. I watched it. It was on Facebook, and it was like showing. It showed like our sun, and then the different planet. Or first, I'm sorry. It showed what's the smallest planet? Like Mercury or something? Yeah. Okay. So it started there, and then just kept going to the next bigger size up, just to show like a humbling experience of what you're dealing with. And then it got to our sun, and then it showed our galaxy and how small our galaxy is compared to other galaxies and all this other bullshit. And it was intense.
Oh, I've seen that video. It's like the title's like think you, if you didn't feel insignificant before, prepare to feel something like that.
Yeah, or you're like not the center of the universe or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, you're a piece of shit, and that's all there is to it. That was the message that I took away.
Your life and death will have no meaning and no purpose.
Yeah, and I was like, man, fuck science.
And that's what keeps me awake at night.
Mm.
Number three, Mars is a small rocky body. Which basically means that it's considered a terrestrial planet like Mercury, Venus, and Earth, in so much as it's solid, it's not gaseous, and it's been changed over eons by volcanism, impacts from other bodies, and atmospheric effects that change its rocky surface. Now, Mars's surface, this is number four, is closest to that of Earth of any of the planets, which was especially confirmed today with the discovery of liquid water. Number five, Mars may be the best hope at finding life away from Earth, again echoed by the fact that we found liquid shit out there. Not like feces, but just liquid.
Well, there's a strong belief that Mars was just like Earth and that it had a planet-killing event, like, you know, a giant asteroid or something like that. So
yeah.
It's fun.
Because there have been markings, like kind of striations on the Earth. Well, not Earth. In the rocks and the dirt that that could only be look like they could only be made from running water, or at least that's the closest thing that they can compare it to from Earth. So it definitely had a whole lot going on before whatever happened. Number six, Mars has inspired more flights of imagination and fancy over the centuries than any other planet. Hence the
including Earth.
Well, any other planet besides Earth.
Wow.
I mean, look at Mars Attacks. Look at all the little green men, the Martians, all those movies from the 50s and 60s. Everybody was obsessed with Mars. Do you guys know how many moons Mars has?
I debate that. I've seen a lot of porn, and they seem inspired by Uranus. And there's a lot of
ha, ha, ha.
Oh, shit, son.
I'll mute myself. Sorry, Randy.
Well,
you're still making the game, dude. You're still making the game.
Mars has two tiny moons, two little satellites, that orbit very close to the surface. Very small, just rocks.
Yeah, Remus and Romulus.
Number eight, Mars has some remarkable geological characteristics. This includes the largest volcanic mountain in the entire solar system, Olympus Mons, at 27 kilometers high, 600 kilometers across. Number nine, Mars has been visited by several probes. So has Justin's anus.
Yeah.
Just like Uranus.
Whatever fits.
Whatever
fits. You like that?
Love it.
The t-shirt. If it,
that should if be it, like how the juicy shorts. It should just say whatever fits back there.
If it fits, he sits on it.
Yeah. That's dirty, Randy. You took it too far.
Yeah.
Idiot. I'm the asshole. Number 10, one day humans will walk on Mars. Yes, this Friday, Matt Damon will walk on Mars.
I know, they filmed it on location.
Yeah. He really should be the first one on Mars. You know, I'd believe that.
They should rename it.
Just want to shoot him off in space.
Yeah. I'm cool with that.
I think Matt Damon should discover it.
So that's our simple little... It's pretty much already been discovered.
How long does it take to get to Mars?
Depends.
Like, how long did it take that rover to get there?
45 minutes.
That was a 97.
It takes 14 months.
Even still in 2015?
But because we have to get it, you have to be on the right like orbital path, and then you have to wait for the planets to realign.
So even if we wanted to send somebody to save them, it's just a matter of it's just not convenient. It would take too long.
Right. If you're on opposite sides of the sun, you know, you can't. You know, this, it makes no sense because the Earth is going faster than the space shuttle will go.
I see. Why don't we just beam them?
Yeah, we should.
Idiots.
Science.
Is that it, Randy? Is that your list?
That is my list. That is all 10 on my list.
Ew.
What an incredible
rumor has
list.
It you might have a game.
I do.
You've been constructing this entire podcast.
I erected it.
Ooh.
It's a tabletop game.
Sweet. I got my pencil and paper.
I got my D20.
We all get to play Matt Damon's family members.
We all get D4s.
There you go. Yes! So, I created a quick little game based off of number one hit new movies that Matt Damon has been in, since he is, of course, in The Martian, which opens this weekend. We're all excited to see it. Dave read it, loved it. Hasn't seen the movie.
Nope. Sad.
We'll all see it this weekend and then talk about it on next week's show. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Except Amanda. She doesn't go to the movies.
Nope.
And I won't be here next week.
Oh my god, you son of a bitch. So
I'll replace you, Randy.
Okay,
I'll
so
talk to them.
I'll go see the movie.
There you go. Oh, I'll send you $8 to your PayPal account.
Yay!
How about that?
Actually, you've probably saved me more money than that since I've been mooching off your Netflix for the past like 2 years.
That's okay. You can owe me $500.
Ooh.
I don't think that's how much it costs.
Well, it's a premium service.
Over 2 years?
Well, you've inconvenienced me. There have been times when I haven't been able to watch stuff.
How do you know it was me?
It tells you the devices.
Oh, okay.
It's smart. Anyway, where was I? Matt Damon. Fine Young Man.
Matt Damon.
Unless you're gay or black, then he's not interested in you.
Yeah. So these are movies that was number one at the box office?
No, not really. I like saying number one new hit show. Why not twice? Yes. So these are just movies that Matt Damon was in. So get your Google ready.
All right.
I'm going to give you a little hint.
I got my Google fingers.
All you
got
to do is shout out the name of the movie. All right?
Okay.
The winner gets a picture of my penis.
Ooh, sweet.
Ooh.
Playing.
So we're all going to let Amanda win.
No. Throw
it. It's fun. It's all neatly trimmed and everything. I even went so far as to pluck out the little hairs that I missed.
It's great. During the holidays, he puts a little set of antlers and a little red nose on it.
It's a Christmas card. It's hot. Anywho. All right. In this motion picture show, a team of explorers travel through a wormhole in space.
Interstellar.
Interstellar.
Ooh, I heard Dave first. David wants that penis.
Ooh.
That's the whatever fits, dude. Whatever fits.
Yeah.
I'm going to call my autobiography. David wants that penis.
Dude, he wants that shit to fit.
Yes, he does. We will make it fit.
Shoehorn.
Muscle it. Yeah. Alrighty. Few players recall big pots they've won. Strange as
Routers.
It seems. Very good. But every player...
None of that sentence made any sense to me.
Oh my god. Can I finish? But every player, including Matt Damon, can remember with remarkable accuracy the outstanding tough beats of his career. Rounders was correct. Dave, killing it. Commanding lead with 2. Alright, here we go. Clive Owen is in this movie hunting down Matt Damon, who suffers from amnesia, but hasn't
Born
forgotten
Identity.
How to kick ass. Yes, Born Identity. Dave, correct.
Took me a second to realize which Born it was.
I know. I always forget Clive Owen's that? In it. He's got that little porno mustache, that little Frenchman's mustache. It's off-putting. I can't stand it.
Speaking of which, are you guys excited for the new one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Always.
Yep.
I like to see him beat up people with books.
Yeah, it was fucking cool. I like the third one the best. Third one's amazing.
Yeah.
I watched it going to France and coming back from France. I love it so much.
He's like, where are you? I'm in my office. No, you're not, because then we would have this conversation in person.
Yeah. Face-to-face.
Face-to-face.
Maybe he says in person. Doesn't matter. Who cares? Next one. Healthcare professionals, government officials, and everyday people find themselves in the midst of a worldwide epidemic as the CDC...
Contagion.
Find a cure. Amanda!
Yay!
On the board!
Dang. I was almost in that movie.
You were too fast.
Because you're Asian and you wear a particle mask everywhere you go?
No.
Oh. An umbrella.
Damn.
Because they wanted to... Because they filmed one of the scenes at... Candlestick.
Oh.
And I heard about the call for extras.
Should have done it.
I did do it. I just didn't get on set because they hired too many extras.
Wow, that doesn't happen too often, I imagine.
Yeah. It was a bummer.
Sounds like a bummer.
I got, cut off. Like, the person, or the line got cut, right in, two people in front of me.
Oh, buzzkill.
Yeah.
That happened with me when I went to go see the Sentinel, at a screening with Kiefer Sutherland, and then they gave me a free ticket to go see anything I wanted, and I saw The Ringer instead.
Yeah, you chose wisely.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Sentinel.
Never saw Sentinel.
Yeah, but you saw The Ringer, and that's good enough.
So Dave has 3, Amanda has 1, Randy and Vaughn have 0. Fuckers. All right, here we go.
Step up the game.
Yes. You might get this one. You like this movie. This cameo caught us off guard when Matt Damon
uttered...
Very good.
What?
Randy. Uttered the words, Scotty doesn't know that Fiona and me do it in my van every Sunday. Randy, on the board.
You had me at
cameo. I like how you hear it throughout the whole movie in different languages. It's like a total... It's a Small World kind of vibe.
Yeah. I love
it. It's the guy's ringtone.
Such a good movie.
Yeah. All right. In this movie, Matt Damon plays Billy Caldwell's kid and is reluctant to get in the goddamn house. Ooh, that's a tough one.
What?
In this movie, he plays Billy Caldwell's kid and is reluctant to get in the goddamn house. No, you were wrong. I'll give you another hint. It's a super mega ensemble cast. It's a remake. It had the original.
Oh, Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11?
Oh, there you go. I heard Vaughn. Vaughn's on
the board. That was a good clue, Justin.
That was a good clue. You.
Reluctant to get in the house?
Yeah, when he's at the park.
Get the fucking house.
Yeah, he said, no, he says goddamn house.
Well, yeah, but I like
the only time they drop fucking is when he says, let's not forget, you're in the fucking desert. That's the only time they say it.
then he subtitles it with, where the fuck you been?
Yeah. It was from Ocean's 11, Amanda.
Oh, okay.
It's good
when
clue.
When they all arrive at the house and...
he doesn't want to go inside.
Yeah, Elliot Gould is like...
Or he's trying to be cool.
Yeah.
He's trying to be a cool guy.
Yeah, he's hanging out by the pool. And Elliot Gould's like... he's like, hey, you're Billy Caldwell's kid, right? He's like, yeah. And he's like, you're from Chicago?
You like it?
You like it? It's nice out there? That's great. Get in the goddamn house. All right. So that was Mr. Vaughn.
Yeah.
Shit, that was one I had in my chamber, too.
Yeah,
dude, I really want that ham, dude.
That's fire. All right, here we go. Discovering covert and faulty intelligence causes U.S. Army officer to go rogue as he hunts for weapons of mass destruction in an unstable...
Green Zone?
Correct.
I haven't even heard of that movie.
No one else saw it. It's not that good.
I saw it. It's not good.
Yeah, it's okay. It's better than The American. Did you ever see that with... George Clooney?
Yes.
Yeah. That movie is awful. Holy shit. I'm pretty sure I killed myself 4 times watching that movie.
yeah, that was fucked up.
All right.
The Good Shepherd, which is Matt Damon's worst movie.
That was pretty bad, too. Although, Joe Pesci was in that movie, and you hadn't seen that guy in like a decade, so it's kind of cool.
He looks like it, too.
Yeah, he looked old.
Yeah.
Here we go. Following the Normandy landings, a group of U.S. soldiers go
behind
enemy lines to retrieve a paratrooper whose brothers have been killed in action. David was correct with Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. This is a fun one. I actually enjoyed this movie. I think I'm the only one, but what can you do? The affair between a politician and a ballerina is affected by a mysterious force keeping these lovers apart. Oh, and there are cool hats.
The Talented Mr. Ripley?
No. It kind of has a Fringe vibe to it.
Ballerina.
I don't remember this one.
The initials are T-A-B. Tab.
Tab. The Adjustment Bureau.
Very good!
Oh, I never saw that.
It proves if you give Randy enough time, you can get on Matt Damon's IMDb with a million clues.
I'm looking at his filmography right now.
No, Randy, probably has the IMDb page open right now.
Might as well. You have the opportunity. Just click on the buzzer. I thought I'd be dead. He put the gun to my head, and this is what he said. Are you ready?
Ready.
Yep.
Set in Southern California, a father moves his young family to the countryside to renovate and reopen a struggling...
We bought a zoo.
Ooh, who was that? Was that Randy?
That was Randy.
Yeah.
Right.
Cameron Crowe's weakest film.
I actually saw that movie.
That's amazing. Randy's catching up, man. Not that it matters, because we're at the Golden Snitch, but for those of you keeping score, Amanda has 1, David has 5, Vaughn has 1, Randy's got 3. That's pretty good.
Well, it's a battle for that penis, dude.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, this point is worth 150 points.
Yes, making the rest of the game completely useless.
So just to reiterate, we're letting Amanda get this one right.
There we go.
I'll let her get it if Justin swears he'll send a picture of his dick to her.
No way. That's offensive.
Oh, yeah, that's where the line is.
Yeah, pretty much. I could send her, like, a National Geographic like Aboriginal penis, I guess.
I don't want to see any penises. With,
like rings around it.
Oh. Yeah. Plates through it.
Yeah. I'm more of a tease. I send the dickless dick pic, like just like an erection through the jeans. That's hot.
Yeah, no one wants
dickless
to see
dick pics.
Yeah, you like that? Yeah. It's like this. You can unzip this. This is a present waiting for you. Check this shit out. What do we got? Last one. Are you ready?
Ready.
Yeah.
This movie sucks. In the year 2154, very well.
Elysium.
Dave is the winner. All right. You get the dick pic. Hold on, let me find one.
Wait, let's see. Let me turn my ringer on so everyone can hear you send it to me.
I don't have any on my phone. What are the odds? And I can't take one right now.
I've got one saved on my phone of him, so I'll send it to you, David.
Look, really? here comes the ding. Here comes the ding. Everyone listen. This is riveting radio.
Yeah.
The blank earwaves.
I even turned my ringer on. It vibrated.
You botched it.
I blew it. Fucking David, you should take away all my points for this thing.
Yeah.
That is offensive, Randy. I want to vomit in my mouth.
Let's keep your mouth open. That's good lube.
Yeah. I'll let it run down my shoulder so it gets nice and in there for you.
There you go.
Just setting it up.
Yeah. Getting it ready. Saving it for second harvest.
Well, Dave, I am proud of you. You have a whopping 155 points.
But you hate it when I win.
No way. I love it when you win. I placed my bets on you. The day you fucking lose is the day we're no longer friends.
Thanks. Can't wait. Is that all it takes?
I can't have no losers as friends.
What about Randy?
Well, if you win, he wins.
Yeah. Oh, we're like a team. I got it.
Nice. Randy, why don't you just take this this tugboat ashore?
I will do just that. Does anybody else have any shout-outs before I get this train moving?
Just the usual. Check out Tony Tolato over at Sci-Fi Talk, Tim Byers over at FullBleed.net, and my fucking, the mighty, what is it? Is it Jerd.com?
Jerd.com.
And Mr. Rod Faulkner over at 7thMatrix.com.
Absolutely.
And then Vaughn, of course.
Yeah.
And the podcast.
Yeah, you guys can listen. Yeah, you guys can listen to me on the Maniacs on Movies and follow me on Twitter at It's the Filmmaker.
Cool. Don't forget the other podcasts on the Wonderful Geek Legacy Network, that being the Pixelated Podcast with Stephen Janes and our very own Justin, and the Comic Corner Podcast with Jerd and Tyler. Also going to throw out some information for the next screenings of Nonstop to Comic-Con. We are going to be screening this weekend, Friday, October 2nd, up in Modesto, California at the Steamhouse Con. So if you're a steampunk aficionado and you're heading up there, check us out. We're also playing out in Oklahoma City at Frackfest this Friday the 2nd as well at 9:15 p.m. Then the following week, we're heading out to New York. We're going to be going to New York Comic Con and screening on the 8th during Super Week. So it's also the first day of the convention. So come check us out, 7 p.m. that night. Check out NS2CC, that's NS2CC.com, for all the screening information. And that is it. Thank you.
And if you're going to go to Modesto, let us know. Maybe we're up for like 9 awards. Maybe you can bring us back our trophies. You know,
all,
you get
all the way from Modesto.
That would be pretty cool. It looks like a pretty cool little convention. And it's running all 3 days this weekend. So if you're in the neighborhood, go check it out. It should be a pretty good time. They got some fun guests up there.
They used to have a Toys R Us there when I was a kid. When I go to Merced for Christmas. They'd always take me to Toys R Us and we had to drive all the way to Modesto to go.
Really?
That's where Lucas is from.
It is.
Who?
George Lucas.
Oh.
So that should be where all the Star Wars toys were from, too. But they're not. They're from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Ohio!
All right. And that's going to be it for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.